ride into this world all alone. You gotta take your soul, you're on your own. The crow flies straight, a perfect line, on the devil's back until you die.
Hello, my name is
Jax Teller.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Hello and welcome to the Nattercast for Sons of Anarchy 414, entitled 2B Part 2, the exciting season finale of the fourth season of Sons of Anarchy. This is the Nattercast, and I am Jason Schenkel of Schenkel Studios, and I'm here as always with my lovely wife,
Sion Schenkel.
Sion Schenkel of Schenkel Studios, and we're here to natter at you tonight about Sons of Anarchy. But before we get into that, first let me give our disclaimer. We are we're just a couple of super fans of Sons of Anarchy, Justified, Breaking Bad, lots of shows. We're not affiliated with FX or AMC or any of the shows
not
that we
yet.
Cover. Not yet. Maybe someday, and when we are, we'll let you know. But right now, all the opinions you hear on this show are ours, and quite often we find that they are ours alone. you can reach us at nattercast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Please join our group and jump into the Natter Shack. It's at the if you search for Nattercast in Facebook, you'll find us. You can get our RSS feed at nattercast.blogspot.com. And most importantly, we know you're out there. We see that the numbers are going up. Please, please, please subscribe and rate and
5-star.
Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review on iTunes, because the more you do, the higher up we float, and the more listeners we get, and the more worthwhile it becomes.
And the more excited we are to really put on a good show.
And the more excited and the better show that you'll get, because the more exciting viewer and listener email we will get, and like that. So, and we know you're out there. We're seeing the numbers go up, so more ratings, people, please. We could really use them.
And it's getting interesting on our little Facebook page.
Yeah.
Some of our friends who are actually like a real cinematographer, Ruben O'Malley
is on there. Yeah,
a real you grew up with him, and he's the real deal. He works out of New York and LA all the time. And so, Nathan Tucker, who's also a SAG actor who just joined, and I just worked with him on a shoot.
And the Watchers are in there.
The Watchers of Anarchy.
Yeah, so good old Brad and Tracy.
And we'll be playing a really, really, really cute clip from them later.
Yeah, yeah, we got some nice voicemail.
They're so great.
From them for the end of season.
And we're huge fans of theirs.
Yeah.
And they are the mothership of podcasts for Sons of Anarchy.
And we like to use it as a forum just sort of discuss all kinds of things, not just Sons of Anarchy, but like Walking Dead and Dexter and some of the other shows that we're not covering in the cast, so please join us over at, and let's make Facebook a more socially fun place to be for those of us who love TV, and especially speaking of people who love TV, let's roll right into Sam Crow here. So, this is part two of the two-part season finale, 2B, and we open up at apparently the Federal Renaissance Festival. It's like they're setting up their, like, jesters and shit over somewhere in the woods outside of Charming.
Yeah, they've got their tents.
They got their tents.
And their toys and their little outfits.
Yeah, they're crafting, there's a goblet sales.
But then they have the real world thing, all the vehicles lined up.
All these vehicles lined up, yeah, like in the parking lot.
Yeah,
it looked so rampant.
Renaissance Fair or SCA event or any number of things.
And so it's so Lincoln's got his people all ready to go. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, we are clear to exercise all warrants. He had this like really formal like lawman way of rolling everybody out, and they're gonna the big meeting is going down, and just as Lincoln Potter's about to roll his army out, up rolls Machete and Aceveda and their American handler, and we get the reveal that that Machete and Aceveda, Romeo Parada and Luis Torres are in and or working with the CIA. They were recruited out of the Galindo cartel, and the CIA is using Galindo to they're backing Galindo to take out the other cartels, basically. Galindo's going along with this. They're cooperating with the CIA. And so that shuts down the whole RICO investigation. And people had been predicting this, you know, like on the board, it just really seemed like Parada and Torres were really hinky, like all season, you know. Like,
and it makes perfect sense that they're CIA.
It makes perfect sense.
Why didn't we think of that? Well, because the CIA gets away with that shit.
Well, and a little bit we did. Like, I remember early on, we were saying, like, these guys really seem like those old school 1980s Iran-Contra guys who were, like, torturing people in Central America. And I mean, I kind of got that because they were apparently in the Mexican military and they're commandos and they have all of this stuff. And it's like, yeah, these seem like the kind of guys the CIA would be working with, mm-hmm. you know? So I didn't really, I didn't predict it, but it was like, that's what it just seemed like they were riding toward that direction. And, but then they're killing people left and right. And so it's like, well, if they're federal agents, if they're Justice Department or FBI, they're not going to be shooting people in the head. Right. So they can't be law enforcement, but clearly they're government. You know, and so, yeah, no CIA, mm-hmm. definitely. And, you know, I had this thing where it's like, I would have paid $5 to have Lincoln Potter just arrest all three of them.
Yeah, I remember when we were first watching it, the first time we watched it, because we watched them more than once with Roy Cast. You made a comment.
Well, it's illegal for the CIA to operate inside the United States.
Right. You're like, he has the authority of arresting.
He could just arrest.
Why is he not arresting him?
Why? Yeah. He wouldn't really. It's realistic that he wouldn't. It's realistic that the CIA shows up, you shut up and sit down and do whatever.
Yeah, his character arc was kind of very anticlimactic.
They're
bringing him back, I hope.
The Sutter does that, though. The anticlimax, you know? You remember, again, we brought up the Gemma rape. We really thought that was going to lead to some, like, Clive Barker Hellraiser level torture, and it was just shot in the head, you know. So every now and again we do get these little deflates, but I think Potter is coming back. I think you're right about that, because he didn't flame out,
no,
like Stahl, you know. He didn't get shot or end up completely.
Well, I don't know. Pedo Doll
was great. That wasn't decompensating. That was planned and very. That was
that was his, a little he, bit like
I was hoping he was going to jump up on the desk.
You want to
start
dancing
around the Pedo Doll in the pile of sex toys and saying, feel free to explore, and, you know, or whatever. He's like the oddest Muppet. The guy loved it when Rosie said, you're an odd dude, you know that?
Well, it serves a purpose.
It serves a purpose because I don't like people, so therefore I act odd. I'm so heavily going with only child on this guy. At this point, I am all in on only fucking child. You know, I don't much like people, so I act bizarre around them so they'll leave me alone, or at least, you know, act.
The ultimate cynic.
He's totally cynical. Yeah, so anyway, so this is some serious old school Iran-Contra stuff, and I'm wondering where the Obama administration is. What's this going on? You know, it's like, explain to me again how we're using the cartels against each other and we're hiring biker gangs to transport cocaine. I seem to recall previous presidents getting into trouble over this. Let me be clear. We do not want to purchase cocaine from Mexico. You know, it just seems like the kind of thing, there's no oversight at all to this operation and it's going to fly out of hand. So then we have the three amigos, you know, reduced down to two amigos, meeting with the Irish or the Lucky Charms guys, you know. And here we get the basis for what I think. Now, I'm going to say, you know, just like looking back on the season and coming to this episode, a lot of people were like very disappointed by this episode. They want to see more blood. They want to see Clay die four times.
They wanted closure.
They wanted closure.
And
they
instead, we got like a sweeping up and a reopening.
This is
a whole
almost
bunch of
this is
things.
Almost like a mid-season finale kind of thing, where we're rolling into the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, and I really liked it because, you know, like we were talking in the cast before, it's like, well, what are they going to do next season? It's going to be Gemma and her sewing circle. I mean, there really didn't seem to be like a lot of story that would be left if they cleaned up the cartel story. So they didn't clean up the cartel story. It's a complete mess now. And when the Irish come in, we get the beginning of the Jax in the box scenario here. Jax is boxed in. And in a barn, too. I just want to say, throwing out...
Jack's in a box in a barn.
In a barn. Throwing out to Walking Dead. It's not been a good year for barns.
No, it hasn't.
It really hasn't been a good year for barns and gunshot wounds.
Yes. I mean, come on. Just let it... Just... Barns. No. Do you think they're like using the same sets?
They might be using the same barn. They might have been Herschel and
they
Sophia.
They got this deal on a barn.
Yeah, there's a bunch of walkers.
Say, we need to just get as many shots and as many shows out of this as we can.
Well, see, I think people wanted to see Clay killed and then come back as a walker and then be tortured as a walker and then be killed as a walker and then come back as a ghost and then be
exorcised.
And then he'll end up on American Horror Story being tortured by a guy in a rubber suit. And he just keeps going through levels of different kinds of reincarnation into worse and worse scenarios for him. Anyway, so no, but what really makes the CIA thing here work for me is that Jax is now totally pinioned, right? If you think about the shit he's got to deal with next season, he's got the CIA, Galindo. He's got the Niners.
He's got the women who are always telling him what to do.
Well, he's got the one Niners who apparently have the backing of the whatever the top of the Oaktown pyramid is. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're going to have some heavy armory. They're probably going to patch things up with the Lobos, you know, to help them because Leroy knows he's not just facing Sam Crow, he's facing Galindo, so he's going to need a cartel on his side. So Leroy's going to roll into town with the Lobos. He's got Wendy. I mean, this guy's got a lot on his plate, you know. And for a guy whose solutions, you know, like Bobby said, all your solutions are club solutions, right? For a guy whose palette of options is typically yell, punch, or shoot at everything that's a problem in his life, it's going to be interesting to see him have to juggle all these different conflicting things, you know. But I did find it also, I liked how, like, Torres told him, you know, you can't tell anybody about this. You can't tell anybody that we're, you know, basically blackmailing you into this deal. Not your family, not anybody else, or we'll cause all this problem. And Jax goes and immediately starts telling everybody.
Right? No, he only tells...
Well, he tells Tara, and he says to Opie he's going to tell them to the club. And yeah. Opie's, and he says no more secrets. And if that's true, if he's going to reveal the actual circumstances to the rest of the club... You know, he'll also have to reveal that you guys can't tell me that you know. You know.
Well, Tara has proven that she can keep a secret.
Evidently.
She's got some of the tightest lips on the show.
She's keeping secrets from herself.
Yeah.
There's things she doesn't know about her own self.
Right.
That are going on. Yeah, absolutely.
Like what's going on with her arm.
Yeah. And, well, he told Opie he would tell everybody, he would reveal the truth to the club. Opie doesn't show up at church. We're going to start the meeting. We don't see them even, like, read the minutes, you know. So we don't know what's going to happen at this meeting and how much he's going to give. Yeah. So, anyway, so getting into the other characters, there's Juice and Rosie, you know, so basically, you know, Lincoln Potter's got no reason to torture Juice anymore. And so he gives Roosevelt, you know, his dossier and just says, let him, you know, cut him loose if you want. And Rosie says, like, look, you're a bad guy. You do crimes. I'm a cop. I stop you. Let's just get back to that.
Mm-hmm. That was poetic.
It's very poetic. And Juice said, yeah. You know, it's like they're both comfortable with that.
Of course they are. They're going to play cops and robbers.
Let's play cops and robbers. It's fun. You know we both love it. And I'll keep the crimes at a level where it's not sociopathic. You keep the law enforcement at a level where it's up and up. And we'll just deal on that level. You know, and there's almost something sweet to it. Like Juice should just go start his own club. You know, his enema club. The EC.
Well, remember they raided his
pot club. Well, he raided it, but...
Which means he's just going to go right back to having to make money illegally through the...
Yeah. He's going to be working with the Irish and the Galindo and the drugs and the...
Well, everything. They want
Well, that's all more protected. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay, let's hear. So anyway, Jack's got... He also... Before they pinion him completely and do the CIA reveal, you know, he says to them, we're in over our heads here, you know, and that's something that he's been saying for a couple of episodes. And I think that that's been what I've really liked about this season, you know, especially compared to the others, is that we really have seen how completely out of their league they are in playing with these high level gangsters, you know. They're not as when it was the white supremacists, you know, or the Irish kings, or the various like random criminals from the first season. It felt like the Sons were on par with their peer group, with the people they're going after. You know, it's like it felt like, you know, playing the Mayans against the Niners was the kind of game that they could be in. And now it's like CIA and everything else. And I'm starting to think like, man, if they have to, if they need somebody to save them from the CIA, who are they going to go to? Is it going to be what, Starfleet or the Vorlons or something? I mean, we're going to have to start getting, we have to start getting into science fiction scenarios for the Suns to climb much further up the ladder of people who want to hold them to some kind of agenda, you know. So, I mean, they've taken on a lot of federal heat, and now it's federal paramilitary heat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're playing some
college. Although sometimes they get defunded, so, or derailed, so
yeah,
it's not the end all or be all.
No, no, but so there's that. What I'm interested about the defunded and derailed thing, though, is you know, so like, like, what would you do? Now, suppose you're Jax. Like, just think about your Jax. You're rolling in. There has to be a plan now. You got Opie. You got Chibs. Right. These are your guys. Tig does not get to be your right-hand man, not after pulling that shit in Oakland. You know, forget it. You know, like, what would you do?
Well, it's
Tig's
a huge liability.
What's right day now? One? Are you just going to follow Galindo and CIA's playbook here? They're going to cut you loose pretty heavily when they need to. Yeah.
I don't think he has enough information to make a plan at this point.
I'd be looking to get some pardons on paper. You know, CIA can pull that kind of thing.
That's true.
You know, they can get that kind of thing going on. And it's like, yeah, we'll cooperate with you fully, but we want to be pardoned and we want to be deputized. We want everything we do from here on out to have been authorized by you. And everything we have done up until now, we want to be forgiven. And we want that on paper. There you go. And obviously, I can't give that to you before you do this stuff, but I need some sort of agreement that, you know, if we do this, you'll give us that. Yeah, so there's that. And then Juice is watching The Shield.
Yes.
How about that?
I loved it. It was when Vic Mackey was talking to his wife. You don't want me to go to jail, do you?
That might be good for us, Vic.
While he's sitting there in jail.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what jails have such nice remote control TVs. I mean, it's remote control. They're only like 2 feet away from it. They don't really need the remote. Think about the remote in their butt when they're lonely, or
we were just, you know, I was just watching this Warren the Ape episode. What, Warren the Ape from Greg Gabani?
Oh my god, I love Warren.
We wore him so much. He had his own show on MTV for a while. I just saw the one where he goes to prison and he says, "Yeah, man, it's pretty tough here in the lockup. They only have basic cable. There's no privacy in the toilet." And they got basic cable, he's out in the yard, and it's supposed to be like the tough yard, and it's these guys playing tennis, and it was Pliskin and McCready are playing tennis. It's like, over the line, Pliskin, that was a foul, McCready. So they're at the Warren the Ape prison here in Charming, definitely, with the remote control TVs and the basic cable.
And they have cushion on their.
He's watching The Shield, which is not on broadcast, so they're definitely getting you the basic cable or the satellite. That's pretty good. They did the same thing on, like, somebody pointed out on the Watchers board, they did the same thing on Boston Legal, or The Practice, where somebody said they had to get home in time to watch Boston Legal. But characters from The Practice are on Boston Legal. So it's a show, but you're in the reality that the show is in. And so I've always kind of thought that Suns and The Shield are in the same reality because the 1-9ers appear in both shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like Juice is like watching Leroy on TV. It's like, hey, I didn't realize there was a whole cop show about you. When did you guys sign that contract? Yeah. I guess TV producers are more tight-lipped than the cartels. another inconsistency here, and this might have changed since the last time I saw it. It's been about 4 or 5 years since I checked this kind of thing, but they're using MacBooks out in the federal Renaissance Fair.
That would not happen.
The federal government uses Windows machines. These are cheap bastards. They're not putting out $2,000 for a laptop. They put out $200.
No, that's what showbiz has a deal with Mac.
Showbiz has a deal
with Mac.
That's
why you see
MacBook,
them on TV and film so much.
But it's also
in my office.
Yeah.
Our home office is filled with Macs.
Yeah.
And my iPhone is my crack phone.
Crack phone. Well, I've got Boot Camp. So I got the Windows and the Mac. Let's see here. And then so Jack's out on at John Teller's grave, and he takes the rings, you know, the Sun's rings.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was sitting there thinking, really, those rings? Because you could tell that those rings had been out there.
Weather.
Nobody steals them.
I guess. They're just really honorable people. They're in Charming. You know, or they know, Where you can offend some Sons of Anarchy rings, I guess. Nobody wants to get caught with them.
You just hide them like loot.
Loot. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some things on graves that, you know, looked kind of like valuable or whatever, but they also, but then, you know, I don't know. Hmm. Yeah. I guess there's just the...
Because the caretakers, they would lift them.
Yeah, you'd think that it'd be dangerous to put them there, but it's poetic.
It was poetic.
You know, he puts on his father's rings.
And takes his own off.
Yeah. And then he goes and has his Inigo Montoya moment.
Wonder who he's going to give his to.
Well, probably Abel, I'd imagine. Although, who's the older one? What's the older one's
name? Abel.
Abel's
Abel and Thomas.
One? Thomas.
They haven't had Cain yet.
They haven't had Cain. It's fantastic. He's the son of a pizza man. So, let me see here. What else do I have? Just moving right along. Okay, so then he goes and has his Inigo Montoya moment. Now this is the confrontation we've been waiting for 4 years on the show, right? It's like, you killed my father, prepare to not die. Right? And he goes over to Clay's, you know, hospital room, and he's got the injection, right, that Tara is gonna have him give. And decides not to, you know, because he needs Clay to make the Irish thing happen. Because the Irish, here's an interesting bit of personality judgment. The Irish don't trust Jax, but they do trust Clay. Now, wouldn't it seem to you...
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense. And Jax might not be very reliable in some ways, but he's pretty trustworthy. He feels like you'd be dealing with a more of a straight shooter with Jax, who might not be able to, might not have as much, you know, debonair experience as Clay does at manipulating things or whatever. But I would feel more confident, you know, making an arrangement with Jax than with Clay. But maybe the Irish feel like Clay is better at keeping secrets and keeping a low profile. Jax does blow things up pretty easily, you know.
But you would think John Teller, though, would have said stuff about Clay to them.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they were Clay's guys and not John's guys, you know. But they seem to be very invested in Clay.
Yeah, I'm feeling so stupid. John wanted to get out of
guns. Of guns, yes. But
so Clay was the one that stepped up the gun thing with the Irish. So, of course, they like him.
Yes. I mean, it's clear. They have clear reasons to like Clay. What it seems to me is that they're like, making Clay the deal breaker and, you know, or making Jax a deal breaker seemed a little, like... It seemed a little deus ex machina. It felt a little bit like, we need a way of keeping Clay alive. The way we keep Clay alive is we make him the vital link we make sure he's irreplaceable between the Irish and the Mexicans. And there you are, you know. And, you know, I really liked it too, because, you know, Jax gives him the whole thing. You're stepping down. You're going to make these deals. You're going to vote my way. You're going to stay away from my mother and my wife, you know. And he says, well, you might as well just kill me. And he says, you're dead already. And then what did Clay say about, you know, people being dead already? And he said, nothing more dangerous.
Yeah, than a man who already knows he's dead.
Than a man who already knows he's dead. Yep. And that's what they're setting
that's
up for.
That's going to be gorgeous.
That's going to be really great. I mean, this next season is looking to be so much better than I envisioned, even like last week. Because now you're going to have Clay is going to be this poisonous spider. He's going to be a desperate guy who knows he's already dead. He knows he's dead as soon as Jax gets any trust with the Irish. So he's going to have to poison the relationship between Jax and the Irish, make sure the Irish will never deal with Jax. And he's going to have to start finding allies. He doesn't have Gemma.
He feels he's already dead because he can't. He's not leader. He's not voting.
Right, right, right.
So he may act in a completely different, reckless way.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, but he's going to be a great wild card.
Yes.
I just think, you know, he's going to want to keep his biological life going. And he knows that his biological life depends upon being critical.
I'm curious to see how him and Gemma are going to play out.
He's supposed to stay away. That's Jax's orders, or stay away, you know?
Well, she's not going to be turned on to him anymore because he's no longer the alpha male.
Right. And also because, you know, not the alpha male.
But now she has to compete with, because this is really interesting. It started in part one, but in part two, this whole who owns Jax.
Yeah.
Because even Tara at that end scene is mine, you know, mine, mine. You know,
like, he's mine, he's mine. Yeah.
When she was with the baby and he tells her what the deal is.
And that's calling back to when she said he's mine to Gemma.
Right. And then Gemma's staring and sees that picture of what when her and John were in that position.
Right.
So it's all like, Gemma and Tara are really going to have a really odd relationship now.
Yeah, and the ownership of Jax, because now it's like...
Yeah, everyone owns Jax.
The CIA owns Jax. Yes. Galindo owns Jax. Wendy owns Jax.
Yeah.
Tara owns Jax. Gemma owns Jax.
Exactly. It's like everyone owns Jax. I mean, he's not this big free anarchistic guy. He's property. He's
property of all these people. Opie's got a piece of him, too. You know,
that's true.
A little bit. He's going to need Opie to at least chill out. I love it when he's with Opie. And he's like, I need you to trust me.
Not again.
It's like, oh, come on. I promise.
You know, oh, God.
You keep using this word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Oh, by the way, bro, we're going to play it at some point in the clip here. Or I might have played it already. Brad sent us some great Princess Bride cuts.
Which is perfect.
You killed my father, and you keep using that word, you know. So, and then Opie doesn't show up for church, but it's only like 8:03. Maybe he's driving a little slower because his arm is totally destroyed, but fine. He can like hold a cigarette with his broken wrist. His wrist was shot through, and he can smoke with that hand. You know, that just seems like a little early for that kind of articulation when Tara is in like this complete, like, you know, mech armor body rig from the wound that she took. But Opie is apparently made out of liquid metal or something. And then we find out that Leroy's girlfriend or wife or whoever who
it got was his girlfriend killed, is the daughter of
the number one baddest gangster in Oaktown.
And that's just over the bridge. We can see the lights from
our
street.
Right next to Oaktown.
Yeah.
In
you work right there on the border of Berkeley and Oaktown.
I work in Burktown.
You're like 3 blocks from the Oakland border.
It's like, we're from San Francisco. We don't say Cali and Oaktown and stuff like that.
No, it's Oakland.
It's Oakland. Well, here. But some other parts of the state they kind of do. But Berkeley needs their own thing. Birkenstock Town. That it is Birkenstock Town. But so David Pope. So her name is, I guess, Veronica Pope, the daughter of David Pope. So now that's, you know, Leroy is connected.
Is it Pope or Polk?
I think it's Pope. Okay. Maybe Polk. I might have. But then while we're getting this information, you know, Mrs. Robinson, who's not trying to seduce us. No, sorry, Mrs. Roosevelt, is sitting in
the... Yeah, you just went to graduate
there. I just went to graduate there. Mrs. Roosevelt is sitting in the office, and she got behind her, she got this poster for the Rat's Paw Karate Dojo.
Yeah! And I'm wondering what that is.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We should look that up.
Because there is... the Rats are a rival gang of Hell's Angels in East Bay.
Yeah, but
well, speaking of which, we just spotted some HAs.
We saw some HAs the other day.
A couple nights ago, we were just coming off the freeway off ramp from the Bay Bridge to our neighborhood here in San Francisco, and
by Zeitgeist.
They, you know, a lot of them live in the city or just outside the city, mm-hmm. and their headquarters is here. Just
so that's about you guys a mile were rolling in their cuts, as they say,
and they were rolling in their cuts. Two of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So there's been a spotting. There are still some left, I guess, out there. I think, what was it that?
There's plenty of them.
No, I know, but I was just thinking, it's like Obama just said, was it Mitt Romney said he's an appeaser. He's been appeasing. And Obama, this is like a great moment for like Democrats. Obama said, why don't you ask Osama bin Laden if I appease people? Why don't you ask like the 22 out of the 30 Al-Qaeda leaders or if there's any of them left out there, how much I appease. He's like, he went total Clint Eastwood on them. Why don't you get off my lawn while you're at it? You know, so why don't you say how many Hell's Angels are still out there despite all the shenanigans that have happened with them lately? So we saw that. And then Jax is like, you know, so Tara's no more secrets. You know, she can keep a secret. Let's see what else I got. Oh, and then so Lincoln Potter at the board meeting, the county board meeting where Mayor McCheese is like getting his final pitch for the development, and he comes in with his bag of sex toys and his pedo doll from the Japanese investors, and I really wanted him.
I love the way the pedo doll was bouncing on his shoulder. I'm like, oh, what wonderful weird thing's gonna happen.
Feel
now.
Free to review and explore.
That's really fun.
I wanted him to dance up on the table, though.
I know you did. Oh, you said that earlier.
That would have been a little nice thing. Yeah. Okay. And I don't know. So, from, you know, again, being from San Francisco, maybe we're just inured to this kind of stuff. But the pedo doll, that for me, that crosses a little line of weird where I don't necessarily want those people in my town. But the rest of the bag.
That's nothing.
Paddles, a ball gag, and a little feather duster and some shit. I mean, come on, man.
Nipple clamps.
Yeah.
Lube, whatever. That's
you get these at PTA bake sales these days.
Oh, it is pretty pedestrian stuff.
It's pretty pedestrian stuff. Yeah. The doll, I think, was the one that would sell people.
That's
a little weird.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's not. He said some young boy. The joke is some young guy.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, there you are.
That was good.
That was good. And then, but then Hale is like, "Why are you doing this? And who are you?" By the way, but also, why are you doing... I think he introduced himself like one time early in the season.
I don't like
you. Because I don't like you. You know, and there's like, that just reminded me of...
But don't take it too personally, because he reveals earlier he doesn't like
anybody. Doesn't like anybody. Because you're a person, therefore I don't like you.
But it's so weird. For someone who doesn't like humans, why is he trying to help humans?
Yeah.
Save humans and be the good guy, not the bad guy, as he puts it.
Because he's a student of human weakness. You know, I think they've had this kind of character in different places before, right? It's like, what was it? L.A. Confidential. Remember,
right.
Remember Dudley says to him, you've got the eye for human weakness, but not the stomach for
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Right, and it's like there are these guys who have the eye, but not the stomach, right? And Lincoln might have the stomach, too.
I really hope there's so many unanswered questions about him. I mean, we really chewed on this all season on Lincoln Potter as a character, and I feel let down.
Well, I feel like it's not over.
God, it better not be.
And I'm kind of glad they didn't burn too much screen time doing a bunch of Lincoln stuff in these last two episodes. I think having him come back in some capacity, because there's no way that CIA can run this without Justice. There is no way they can do this operation without Justice Department cooperation. And he still is the assistant
he obviously he's saying I'm going to do stuff to set I'm still going to represent you and I'm going to be showing up in your courtrooms and doing stuff.
This is his county, you know. It's like this is where he works, right? So he's still going to be here and he's probably going to still be working with Roosevelt on the what do they call it, the smaller good.
Oh, maybe he's into cross dressing and Wendy will get a hold of him.
Everyone knows it's Wendy. No, maybe Gemma will start dating him.
You
had the whole theory that she's going to have to sexually humiliate Clay.
She's going to cuckold, but no.
Well, isn't part of cuckolding that you just go...
She would not... No, yeah. I don't think she could stomach that one.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know, man. She kissed Unser. You know?
Well...
She'll do what she has to do.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. you just don't like that idea at all, do you? So then, we had House of the Rising Sun. Interesting rendition of that, you know. And then I've had this theory for a long time that when you hear House of the Rising Sun start playing,
it's not good.
It's not good.
Give Me Shelter. Those are the two songs. You hear them in a movie, you know there's going to be some shit going down.
Especially if it's a Scorsese movie. Yeah.
Yes.
But just in general, I posted over in the Watchers board too. It's like there's House of the Rising Sun from Casino, the mm-hmm. Casino, and House of the Rising Sun from Wild Palms, that Oliver Stone sci-fi bit, where there's like the most tragic moment in this like 25-hour epic or whatever it was, is done to House of the Rising Sun, and it's like there's a big gunfight, you know, where a kid is dying. He's like 40, but he's someone's son. It's never a good sign. You start hearing that music playing, you better get your foot off the platform and one foot on the train. Because there's going to be some gunfire and some garroting and some stabbings coming. Let's see what else we got here. So, and then we have the church tableau, you know. The final sort of tableau with everybody sitting there. And then we did Tara and Jax, you know, in that pose. I know we talked about that a little bit before. But it seemed like it's like that could have been subtler. It's like we get...
Yeah, we didn't need to see that.
We get the whole Star Trek Next Generation thing that you're doing here.
Yeah, doing that clip, it's like, we get it. It's like,
we really get it. But it was still, as an individual image, it was really great.
Yes.
It's like, it's an oversell, but it's forgivable. And the look
that Tara was given Gemma and Gemma's given Tara, it's like, that ownership thing is, it's they should just call this Who Owns Jax.
Yeah, Old Queen, New Queen, I think that's what we have there, yeah. And so, yeah, so let's talk about where this, I mean, that kind of covers the episode. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to, like, I don't think I want to do, like, a whole episode, you know, like, a whole Nattercast on a season, you know, overview. And we have a little time here. So I was thinking, like, just, like, you know, what did you feel, like, just overall on this season? Do you have any, like, you know...
It was a fucking goddamn good time.
It was good.
And I really like the way that we've been able to make friends online with the Watchers of Anarchy, with Courtney, Tracy, and Brad, and the whole crowd over there of cool people. Mudball, Graham's great, and Bobby Shovel and Melissa Coates, and just there's tons of people over there. Who else? There's like Moses.
Yeah, and. Just a lot of people.
I feel so bad.
Kim Shaw and there's like 500 people in that group.
Yeah, there's just awesome stuff.
This has been a great experience for us because this is the first full season of a show that we've done.
Right.
Podcasting, you know, right. We're working on backcasting Breaking Bad, but this is so we got through a season of that, but it's a backcast.
And we have decided that Justify is our next show.
We're doing Justified.
And we are studying it right now, and we're going to be backcasting.
We'll be caught up, and we're going to do January. Episode by episode in January. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're probably going to do like a couple of big casts on that.
And it's also interesting because the actor who plays Lincoln Potter is in Justified, or that
he has a great little role there.
He has a great little role. There's some crossover stuff there.
But on this season of Sam Crow, so it's like last season, a lot of people kind of felt like they were disappointed, like I said before, by this episode. Not a lot of blood and everything. But I feel so...
I was really disappointed by it.
Were you? I felt invigorated.
But I also enjoyed it too. So it's like... You know, it was a lot of things, which makes it good.
Yeah, but like last season,
I know you were really into it.
I was really well. Like I guess it was the end of episode of season two when baby disappears at the end.
That was really weird.
That was more disappointing to me because it's like no, really.
In also, the last... they're all on the end of the same pier and it's not falling into the water. That was such a bad that's silly.
But like we are 10 minutes left in the season. We've been dealing with white supremacists and all this whole other different storyline. And then baby disappears, and you've set up like next year's thing is going to be baby chase, and I just sort of felt like it didn't really come out of nowhere because they obviously had set up the plot elements for it, but it kind of felt like really now we're going to be chasing baby, and I just feel like oh this is going to be endless, right? Whereas with this, I what I liked about this it was feeling the number of things that are crushing down on Jax now are just great. Right, there's like...
Well, I think because you are such a fan of story structure...
Yeah.
And you are a great writer, I could see why this was great.
Yeah, it really... It felt like it opened up the field.
Yeah, and for me, I saw less creative filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some... I wanted some actor arcs to pay off a little bit more dramatically.
I think I agree with that. There could have been a better payoffs to
So I think it part of it's our own... paradigm around filmmaking too. Yeah. Just our usual, just you know, our filters. But yeah, I would like to have seen a couple of character. I wanted to see more Potter play out differently.
I agree with that.
I would at least like to see his bedroom or where he lives or
his car, the inside of his car.
The inside of his car, his glove compartment, something.
I want to see what's on that post-it boat board.
I'd also like to know what's happening with all the porn stars.
Yeah.
I like me the porn stars. And that, you know, they're just I kind of see it through shot angles and characters more.
I see
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am thrilled that the doors are fixed.
Yes, they fix the doors.
That's very important to me. That's
very important. Yeah, so that's great. So I think we can move on to listener mail. We have a little listener mail.
We don't have as much this time, but it is the silly holidays. Season when people are all over the place, but our super 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 fan Robert had a good little email here. Wow, just had a flash. Who will be Oaktown's gangster number one? Ving Rhames would be perfect. I think that's a good pick. And then he inserts a squeal. Like, I really want to meet this guy. I thought the ending was perfect. Trust me, Ope. I can't tell you yet. But I will. Wow, this is the poor sap that lost his wife to Clay and Tig, his dad to Clay, killed a Fed, Stahl. You shot him in the wrist. Phew. And you want him for VP, but you can't tell him. You just signed everyone up to be Junior G-Man.
Yes. Here's your Junior G-Man badge, Obi.
And you can't tell the little woman. She's stable. My arm is a Louisville slugger. Yes. I'll be doing the chat at Watchers of Anarchy Saturday as Bobby Shovel. And we couldn't make it because they did it an hour later and we had a date.
Yeah, we were going to see Hugo.
We got to see Hugo, which was fantastic. See it in 3D. Great. It's worth the money.
It's worth the money. It's worth 3D.
If you're really a film buff, I think for some people, they might find it a little...
maybe slow.
Or not quite right or something. They're actually evoking a lot of real genuine film history in it.
Yeah. No, it's
so, yeah, that's... I think that's, if you really are a film buff, it will touch you extremely deeply and go to some unique
places. It's like, I mean, it's like Cinema Paradiso in a lot of ways. It's this thing where you have this amazing quality. Well,
it's a little bit of Glorious Bastards too, only in the sense that it's this crazy filmmaker, Scorsese.
Right.
Talking about the power of film.
Talking about the power of film.
But cloaking it in a... reimagined story about real people and real events in Paris. Right. And the same thing was with Inglourious Basterds with the Nazis. But anyways, right. I digress. So guess what I'm probably getting for Christmas?
What are you getting for Christmas?
It looks like I might be getting a autographed Gemma.
Oh.
We'll see.
Hooray.
But I'm such a bad, bad woman.
Well, you got your autographed Warren.
Yes, I did. But I want to get more stuff. So I want to get Gemma and I want to get Wendy.
Hi, I just thought I'd drop in now that you're vulnerable.
Kick you while you're down.
And kick you while you're down.
And let's see, what else?
Oh, we got...
and I'm going to be getting some ink probably soon. I need some more ink. But I'm not going to get some.
My fancy painted lady. And then we have a call in from the.
But I'm getting ink from the guy who works with the guy that was on the Sons of Anarchy.
Oh right, we get
one breakfast. One of my new fun friends reads his tarot cards.
Yeah, they do the coffee grinding out of Uncommon Grounds.
What's the name of the guy who was on Sons of Anarchy?
It was Jason something. I remember.
It's a big guy. But anyways, his friend of his is a. Friend of mine now, and she's hooking me up.
And he does some of the temp tattoos apparently. Woo-hoo! For the Sons. So we're gonna get some real.
He was one that was actually shown in that one episode.
Right, right. Yeah.
But of course, we can't remember his name because we're losers.
And it's cold for us.
It's cold in San Francisco.
Our brains hurt.
We had to put coats on.
Yeah. To put on our winter clothes, and we also have a call in here from. Brad and Tracy and Courtney over at the Suns. Here, bring it up.
You want to push the button?
Push the button, Max.
Hey there, Nattercast. This is Brad from the Watchers of Anarchy and
Tracy
and
Courtney.
And we're just calling to say hey.
Hey. Hey.
My God, how about the season finale of Sons of Anarchy? Can you believe what happened?
Oh my God. That was insane.
I saw it coming the whole time. I said, I'm telling you. I don't know.
You told us.
It was awesome.
I did.
You were right. You're always right.
I was just talking about it. It's just most... I could not believe it happened. What a cliffhanger. Jesus Christ. And the fact that Jack said Jesus Christ again during the show.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
Who knew?
The whole thing with Gemma.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
And Tara.
Oh. Oh, my God. Yeah. What was your favorite part, Courtney?
Tell me you love me.
That part?
That part.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that was a good part.
That was a good part.
I love you.
And he's got to die.
He's got to die. Yeah, the season finale just cried me.
He's got to die a lot.
He's got to die a lot. And I cannot believe the stuff that Happy did. Oh, my God. Anyhow, we're talking to Nattercaster. Y'all are doing great. Love you.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love you.
We love you guys, too.
We love you guys, too.
Eventually, somewhere.
Down the road.
But that season finale. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
All right.
Take care.
Until then. Bye.
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 Oh, it's good to hear from those guys.
They're great.
Oh,
I love it. I can't believe what's happened. And then all the cussing. I love the cussing.
Love to cuss and cuss. Okay, well, unless you got anything else, I think
happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everybody. And, you know, fear not. Yes, AmCrow won't be back for 8 or 9 months, but we got Justified.
Oh, we've got a lot to keep ourselves
busy. We got Breaking Bad back cast, and we are thinking about taking a look at American Horror Story, and if that's ludicrous.
And I'm already getting ready to go into production on another little one of my little movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I get to play with a cult python.
Cult python, fantastic. So Nattercast will be around.
I promise.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
And until next time, remember, when in doubt, take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
What's that from?
What's that from? It's Aliens.
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get a divorce now. You're going to serve me papers.
There is a house in Charming Town. They call the Rising Sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor girl. And me, oh God, I'm one. If I listen to my mama, Lord, I'd be home today. But I was young and foolish. A handsome rider led me astray. Go tell my baby sister, never do what I've done. To shut the house in Charming Town, they call the Rising Sun.